your goddamn genius.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And the Oscar goes to No Country for Old Men. Scott Rudin, Ethan Coen, and Joel Coen, producers.
Oscar is 80 this year, which makes him now automatically the front runner for the Republican nomination.
I want to thank the Academy. Thank you, life. Thank you, love.
How can you be named Judy Dench? You clearly look way more like Halle Berry.
And hope, at the end of the day, connects us all, no matter how different we are.
This is amazing. Make art. Make art.
What an exciting night.
A short film is defined as a motion picture that is not more than 40 minutes long.
Oscar-nominated psychopathic killer movies.
Thank you to the Coens for being crazy enough to think that I could do that and put one of the most horrible haircuts on history over my head.
George Clooney, the seriousness and the dedication to your art.
Jessica Alba.
Shut up!
Is pregnant. Cate Blanchett is pregnant.
Shut up!
And Nicole Kidman.
But it's strange. Nature has this strange way for really shy people, and I am one of them. When you are forced to do something as hideous as get up in front of a billion people
Dennis.
And improvise a speech.
Most of all, I want to thank my family for loving me exactly the way I am.
Obviously, the night is still young, and Jack is here. Perhaps, sir, we will retaliate at the end of the night.
That's the closest I'll ever come to getting.
Okay, Dennis. I felt really terrible for Alan Menken. I was so happy with the song from Once One.
I want to thank my friend, Sidney Pollack, who taught me that with the opportunity to make movies, there's a possibility of making them good.
Ethan and I have been taking stories with movie cameras since we were kids.
Somebody Shut sits up! In a room armed only with a computer and their imagination, writing the words that bring those ideas to light.
Even Norbit got a nomination, which I think is great. Too often, the Academy ignores movies that aren't good.
There it is. Dennis.
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 This show's over, Dennis.
Actual tape of Dennis Murphy snoring.
Dennis. I drink your milkshake.
The Don and Mike Show.
What is he, a faggot?
Dennis.
Aficionados of Tinkle Erotica, Don and Mike.
All right.
Everybody loves Oscar.
I love it normally. In fact, I kind of enjoy it every year, but last night was the exception. I hated every minute of it.
A lot of people didn't even tune in.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, ratings were down, right?
Way down.
And we got to watch our old man, Regis. Mm-hmm.
That was jump-starting it for me because, you know, the chance to see Regis on the red carpet and how he might screw that up was exciting.
Now, if you like us and you've, oh, hold on, before we get to the Regis stuff, where's that, the, hold on, this, Jimmy Kimmel and, what's his name for Sarah Silverman?
Sarah Silverman came out with,
I'm effing Matt Damon.
I'm effing Matt Damon, and then, Jimmy Kimmel said that he was going to get a little payback.
Uh-huh.
So he rendezvoused with Ben Affleck.
Hilarious.
And, you know what? The only way it could have been funny is to do what Kimmel did, and he outdid her so much, it was truly amazing.
Ran last night after the Oscars, so here is...
Went all the way with it.
Here's the original one. You probably have seen a million times on YouTube.
Hey, Jimmy. It's me. I'm in a hotel. I don't know. I've been on the road so long, I don't even know what city I'm in anymore, to be honest. Anyway, I've been thinking about you a lot, and I've been needing to tell you something. I don't know why I haven't, but it's important. I mean, we've been together for so long, over 5 years, and I still haven't told you, and it's just not right. So, here it goes. I'm f***ing Matt Damon.
She's f***ing Matt Damon.
I'm f***ing Matt Damon.
All right, so we've heard that before.
It's
so
really one of the funniest things ever done in late night TV.
And how about Jimmy Kimmel's follow up then?
Incredible.
Last night after the Academy Awards.
Oh, hi, Sarah. It's been a long time. I guess you've been busy with Matt Damon. I've been busy too. I've been thinking about us and you and him, and I'm happy for you.
There's
I really
Affleck.
Am. He's a great guy. I mean, he's the sexiest man alive. I found somebody pretty sexy, too. I don't know if you've heard, but... I've been at Lex! Because you and I have fucking spit! Ben Affleck. Hey, Sarah, he's got bigger t-
They go on with a whole We Are the World thing. It was hysterical. Really, really funny.
If that was on the Academy Awards, people would today be saying that's the best the Academy Awards in 25 years.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they didn't. And I was surprised that Jon Stewart didn't do anything like that. I mean, there were montages, but usually they'll involve some production number. When I say production number, I'm not talking about dancers on the stage. Something, a video presentation that they put together, and I guess they just didn't have time to do it with the writer's strike.
Let me ask you something, Mike.
Yes, Don.
At any time, please be honest.
Yes.
When you were watching and disappointed, did you ever think Billy Crystal?
Of course. He's the gold standard. Yes.
The gold standard.
You know, he would come out and do his little thing.
WWBW. What would Billy do?
I thought that Jon Stewart got off some fairly decent lines, but he's got that understated way. Jon Stewart's a very naturally funny guy, but... there weren't enough of them to make up for the lack of the big number, monologue.
Billy Crystal, of course, would have done the whole, atonement. We're atoning for our sins because we're Jews and we're atonement.
Yeah, he would have gone on and done that.
Right. Jon Stewart did some kind of joke like that, a one-liner like that.
Of course, Billy Crystal would have been screwed, too, because you used to hear him talk. How many months did he talk? It was 7 months in advance that they'd prepare that thing with his writers and get together.
Didn't have the time.
I couldn't do it because will win?
And was the big queen, Bruce Valanche, anywhere writing one line?
I think Bruce Valanche is too busy with Bette Midler's show out in Las Vegas.
Do they still do that thing, though, where people, fax jokes into the host at the last moment and he rips them off the fax machine?
I'm sure that they have so many sources that they can use that type of thing. But as I said, the best one really was the simplest joke, I thought, and it's after the guy won for best song, the Irish guy, and he was so humble up there. He was so amazed that he had won this thing, and they do this whole tribute to starving, struggling artists, and Jon Stewart comes back and says, I thought that was really, really arrogant. And it was simple, but it got the biggest laugh of the night.
Right.
Other than that, kind of a goose egg.
Yeah, sucks. And
you know what also sucks, though? It helps the host if there are more blockbuster movies, and you didn't have enough blockbusters that happened to be nominated. As a matter of fact, you didn't have any real blockbusters that were nominated last night.
Everything was a letdown. Even the go-to that I love, the death reel, where they show everyone who
does. Oh, the death
reel
was the biggest letdown.
Oh, Rob's highlight, right.
You know what? I love that, too. And could you believe how few real out in front of the camera people? It was all directors, set designers, and all this.
Roy Scheider got edged out by, I think, 7 days.
Yeah.
He missed the bottom end by 7 days
or
something.
Didn't make the cut.
Yeah, he'll be up next year's death reel. Uh-huh.
That was probably the worst death reel I've ever seen on the Oscars.
Yeah, not good. No good. I want more deaths.
You think they should have thrown some TV people in there, too?
Yeah, I think that would be nice.
The death reel. It was terrible. And then the big fade to black where they have the theaters in silence.
Same shot every year.
And it's
year.
Almost like they went longer with that. And the music, I thought, was horrible. Uh-huh. The musical numbers were horrible.
Yeah.
It just wasn't anything special.
Tell you what, I would like to take my clothes off, though, in front of Amy Adams.
Amy Adams?
Sure.
Yeah, the chick that was doing that ridiculous Disney song
from
last
Enchantment?
Night.
Oh, you mean the perky girl?
Yeah.
Isn't she a little too... she looks like a Disney cartoon character.
Seems like I'd like to take my clothes off in front of her.
Just in that naughty way, that irreverent way where she's so poly purebred perfect?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Would you want her horrified or screaming? Or
I would
pleased?
Want her going like... Oh, my God.
Yes. Like with a smile like that on her face?
Say, my lord, what does that do?
Happily shocked.
Well, I like goo. How about you?
I'd like to take my clothes off in front of the lady that wrote Juno. What's her name?
Yeah. Oh,
Coyote Dakota.
You mean, is that
Dakota,
the
Coyote, Coyote,
Cody.
Lasso. What's her name?
The
her
chick
name?
That has the tattoo like the chick on American Idol?
Yeah, yeah. I want to take my clothes off. What's her name? Her name is John Wayne
Gacy.
Tonto.
No.
Diablo Cody.
Diablo Cody. I knew it was in there somewhere. Yeah. Diablo Cody.
It's called Treats Infection with Antibiotics.
Incidentally, is it Diablo? El Diablo?
Yeah.
The devil.
Scott Shannon.
I'm Scott Shannon.
El Diablo.
She is a bad girl.
She
Watch
used
out for
to
her.
Strip.
I like that.
Now, did she strip for the purposes of writing a book? Or did she strip before she got into the whole writing thing?
Get money.
She stripped to pay her way through school, to keep herself alive, put bread on the table until she could get a writing
She's
job.
She's got a bitchin' stripper tattoo on her shoulder.
She did phone sex, too.
Really? Yeah, look at her. I would think, you know.
She did phone sex last night.
Her motto might be, do you have change for a one?
All I know is her acceptance speech was, and mom and dad or my family for letting me be me or something like that. The acceptance speech.
Here, in essence, is what's wrong with the Oscars. We don't care about editing. We don't care
about
cinematography.
Right.
We don't care about screenplays. We definitely don't care about foreign language films.
Right.
We only like the animated stuff if there's a bunch of good cartoons out. Here's what you do.
And also pretend you care when you win the award.
Yeah.
Don't be so cool, Ethan and Joel Cohen. Don't be so super cool.
I would say that
really?
They're allowed to be too cool for school.
I hate it. Yeah, if they win one.
Showing up and they're showing off in front of their idols. But the people that have the real attitude is like when you get the nerd that does the splicing, who wants to stand up there and wants to make a State of the Union address.
I know. It sucks. I like to see people go out of their minds. I mean, really, doesn't it translate? We've had those stats on this show before. It translates at the very minimum, if you want to put a dollar figure on it, into some amazing career boost for whoever gets these things. You know, on that level alone, but it's the award of awards, and they get up there and they're so mellow.
But Mike, like everything in our society now, isn't it devalued the fact that we've had some less than stellar actors win these awards. We've had some less than great movies win these awards. It's like everything else that's watered down. Winning an Oscar is not as big a deal as it used to be because just about anybody can win an Oscar now.
Well, there's no more self-congratulatory business than filmmaking. I mean, really. I mean, how many awards do they have to have with this? But we eat it up normally. Now the ratings are starting to slide. But I really think the ratings on those shows are directly proportional to the success of the movies.
Sure.
You had no blockbuster. We were talking about that when they went through all the montages of some of the winners, and you go back and you go, oh, my God. You know,
there's some great movies.
And really, No Country for Old Men, which I saw, you know, it would have been nice if they put an ending on it. I would have really liked the movie to have an ending.
And on the Barbara Walters show,
why
are you talking to Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what's the relevance?
What does she have to do with the movies?
Right.
Like she has a movie, but it's not a real movie.
Well, she's very hot, but I found out something interesting about her.
You mean hot as in career hot or hot as in hot as balls?
No, she's boxed.
If you want to talk about a hot box, you look no further than Miss Walters.
Oh, yeah.
That's
baby.
A hot box. But if you close your eyes and listen to Miley Cyrus talk,
it
sounds like Mary Carey, the porn star.
Very low voice.
You know what? All right, here, and I was analyzing her voice. And she has, Miley Cyrus has that kind of voice that says, maybe the partying is already beginning.
I agree.
Because it's kind of like, hello.
It was great. I got to say that to Carrie. Said that to Carrie last night, and she looked at me, and I said, you know, the lady from Celebrity Rehab, Mary Carey, that one.
But the one that won for Michael Clayton, and incidentally, I want to thank DirecTV for finally putting on a pay-per-view movie at the perfect time, because I was able to watch Michael Clayton the night before the Oscars on Saturday night. Uh-huh. Fantastic movie. Yeah. Really. Great movie with Clooney. But the strangest looking woman of all time is the one that won the award for Best Supporting Actress.
Really? I did her makeup.
Tinsdale, is that her name? She is. I saw this movie, I think it's called Bridge to Terabithia. No, not Bridge to Terabithia. The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, yeah.
And this chick was in that. I saw it with my kids.
I've seen that on pay-per-view.
And she has the strangest look. And it's a captivating look because she looks either incredibly evil or incredibly terrified. And she was both of them at the Academy Awards last night.
Like
very scary looking broad.
If she got a spotlight behind her, you could see her bones.
Yeah, very scary.
And
very
when they
scary.
Were doing the shot in the crowd when they had the obligatory shot of all the celebrities, when Steven Spielberg was up there or in the crowd or they had a picture of him or something, I thought that I read over the weekend, and it was on Oprah today, so I don't know if it's aired or not. One of the things that she's going to admit today on Oprah, besides doing blow, is that she boned Steven Spielberg.
Now, where would Valerie Bertinelli have a chance? I mean, How the hell does that play out?
Well, you gotta
I mean, you're talking about rock and roll circles. You're talking about TV circles.
She says she auditioned for a role, and she didn't get that role, but she got this role, the one that involved sleeping with the director.
Is that Steven Spielberg, Spielberg during the Amy Irving era or during the Kate Capshaw era?
Amy Irving, Mike, is way long. Maybe even pre-Amy Irving.
I think
like
it was.
When he was a struggling film student.
It was not even film student. She was called up to audition for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
Now, think back to Raiders. There's no role in that movie she could have played. So I think I know why Mr. Spielberg had her up to
right,
the couch.
Hold on. As long as you're here, hold on. Let me see if I can stump you on this.
All right.
Who is the celebrity who announced over the weekend he does not love Adolf Hitler?
Oh, does not love Adolf Hitler. Well, that's Will Smith.
Now, you are good.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Which was odd, because I was under the impression that, like most of Hollywood.
There was a some website that said Will Smith had said that Hitler was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, when they were doing the pre-show for the Academy Awards, I don't know if it was on TV Guide channel or E, whichever of these lame channels, they're right next to each other. But they said, oh, there's Will Smith, and he was great in I Am Legend, box office, and he does not think Hitler was a good guy. Oh, Jada's beautiful wearing. What? Huh?
What?
How'd that one go by, everybody?
That's a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very strange wild card.
And what about our man, old man Regis?
Hi there, how are you?
This poor bastard, because we watch the Regis Philbin show every day, we've heard him over the last couple of weeks talk about the pressure that he felt in doing this.
Well, he's excited about it.
Yeah. The red carpet show. He had gotten advanced copies of all of the nominated movies.
Right.
He'd watched all the movies. He had gone out to California to scope out the location.
Right. They had a trailer for him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they are going all the way. Regis is hosting the official red carpet party before the Oscars.
Except they kind of pulled the rug out from under him. They kind of gypped him because they put like two supermodels who did a lot of the talking.
Mm-hmm. That know what they're doing.
Right. He read an awful lot of cards.
He did.
And he sure wasn't Regis, was he?
No, he wasn't Regis at all. He was, you know, he was manufactured Regis. They made it fail safe. They made it foolproof. They made the show Regis proof.
And here's your host, Regis Philbin.
The countdown is underway. Hello, everybody. This is
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
Not our
you can hear him reading.
Listen.
This is the big one. Tonight marks the 80th anniversary of the Academy Awards. And if you look across the street, that's where it all began. Back in 1929 at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And 50 years later, I started the red carpet segment of the Oscars in 1979.
You know, goddamn it, that doesn't sound like you pretending to be him.
yelling because, you know, you have that crowd back of him.
Right.
So he's got to scream the whole time. That's not like Regis.
Just on the handheld mic.
I started it back in 1979.
And to show you how good I was, every 30 years, they invite me back. Tonight, I'm here with Sean Robinson and Samantha Harris celebrating the entire entertainment family. The stars, the writers. Are the writers back? Yeah, they're back. The directors and all the incredible talent.
This is just like when he was on the You've Got Talent show.
Uh-huh.
Just reading. He's
reading everything. And they, well, could Regis pull a fact like it started in 1929? He couldn't pull that fact. That's not what he does.
Put the magic into motion pictures. All here tonight. So let's start with the Best Actor nominee and one of Hollywood's most popular stars.
Stars, card number two, not on camera now. Breathe, Regis.
He does the whole thing where he reads the card.
Thank you.
And now let's fast forward to this morning's Regis and Kelly show.
Oh, good.
Where the old man has been up all night.
And, you know, fortunately, he's still got a little juice left.
I think you should host the Academy Awards.
Oh, no,
I really do.
No, yes.
I'm going to beat a dead horse, but I really think you should.
I spent some time with Jon Stewart last night, you know, and they only had, what, 3 weeks since the writer's strike ended out here.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they do months of preparation.
Right.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere up to 7 months, and so I said to Jon, did you feel
that? Man.
He kind of liked it.
Yes.
He kind of liked the pressure of having to get it done in a matter of weeks.
Right.
And
does he say on the tape he's been up all night?
I don't think so on this one. Is it on there?
No, this is just.
You know, on strictly a senior citizen level, this is a man that is really effing with his body clock.
It was all very queer.
I guess it was.
And for every bit as bad as he sounds, she's trying too hard to help him out.
But, you know, you want a compliment for Regis Philbin? Sure. His hair looked better than John Travolta's.
Oh, God.
Now, I could stand up here and say.
Oh, that's Hillary Clinton. Hold on a second. What is this?
She wasn't there.
What is this one?
Well, I love the movies.
Oh, this is just Jack Nicholson reading.
Jack, who's...
He's not a good reader either.
But his voice is getting more and more raspy.
Well, yeah, you know why his voice is raspy.
Yeah, you got any sticky bud? Well, I love the movies. They entertain us. They offer us hope. They give us dramas. They can take us places we've never been in just even for a few moments.
You got that moment when Regis lugged into talking to Jack Nicholson as they were rolling the credits?
Right after he pronounced the guy's name that was Javier as Xavier.
Regis got like the boner of all boners because he's doing his behind the scenes and they're walking with a handheld microphone.
An unenviable task in any area of broadcasting. Yeah, very difficult to do it either. They're putting him through the PA system. You can hear that.
And it's as the credits are rolling, as they're getting ready to start, they got a clock in the corner counting down. He's got like 30 seconds left.
And he's got to do the Billy Bush thing where he's got to go out. And they hate that. I mean, these are the super cool movie stars. And Regis is like the little monkey, the little trained monkey up there.
What's great is that you see Jack Nicholson. He's talking to Tommy Lee Jones. Jack Nicholson turns around and looks at Regis like you would look at a monkey who's been to your party.
Uh-huh. It's the Reg.
And did you notice the disdain from Tommy Lee Jones?
Yes.
It was like
Tommy Lee Jones is like, I don't want to go near that puppet.
Yeah, here was Regis' highlight of the night.
About a minute and a half to go now. I'm still backstage. I just saw Jon Stewart. Looks cool as a cucumber. Looks like he's in terrific shape. Really looking forward to this. I wanted to show you what this magnificent structure looks like. And there's the interior of the Kodak Theater. Everybody who will be on stage tonight will be looking at
it. Now, at this point, they're starting to run the thing that says directed by Buzz Burbank.
At this point, you're just hoping Regis doesn't fall.
Yeah, because he's walking towards the stage.
Backwards.
Show you who's here. You can see most of the stars are sitting in the front rows. We'll work right on down here. Take a look at the long line of the first row. And you'll see George Clooney down there and Nicole Kidman. I know a lot of people are standing in front of them.
You know what you're right about? They're ringing him through the PA. And all the celebrities are still ignoring him. Right?
Because, and that is, I believe, really, seriously, he's looking at a cue card even when he's backstage. The only time he goes off of cue card is when he says, and if you look at the long line of the first row, that is Regis's ad lib, I believe.
Right. And he's being piped in, and no one's looking at him.
They're right? Ignoring him because they're cool movie stars.
All the celebrities are having their own movie star chat,
sure.
Except for Nicholson, who turns around like, hey, there's that clown that performed at my bar mitzvah.
Yeah, he acknowledges Regis.
But there's Philip Seymour Hoffman, everybody in place right there, Forrest Whitaker. Here's Xavier Bardem. Nice.
Xavier,
not even Xavier. Xavier. If you're going to screw the name, at least pronounce the mispronunciation correctly.
What not?
Xavier.
Well, even I'm not that stupid. Xavier.
See him. And here's Jack Nicholson, everybody. Right. Look how handsome Jack
looks. Hey, you know what?
Jack,
can you play that back?
Yeah.
Does that get a laugh when he mispronounces it?
I don't think so.
Because I think you hear a little, hi.
I know a lot of people are standing in front of them, but there's Philip Seymour Hoffman, everybody in place right there, Forrest Whitaker, here's Xavier Bardem, nice to see him, and here's...
You know, maybe somebody was laughing at him.
I think he got a little laugh
there.
A little bit.
Jack Nicholson, everybody, right? Look how handsome Jack looks tonight. How you feeling, Jack?
How's the reads tonight?
Doing good, Jack.
You got the right shades on.
I got them all on. You see my man,
Bobby Lee Jones.
My man, Harvey.
Absolutely. They are the best. Everything is in readiness. Hollywood is happy. In just a few seconds, we go to the best show of the year here, the Academy Awards.
He was great. Regis is standing there going, it's Tommy Lee Jones. And Tommy Lee Jones is looking at him like...
scowling.
Like, get off my property. And Jack Nicholson is putting his arm around whoever the schmuck was that was next to him like,
yeah.
I want you to meet my friend. And Regis Philbin is looking behind the friend going, hey, there's Tommy Lee
Jones. It's Tommy Lee Jones. He's scowling at me.
And another
great ad lib. You got the right shades on.
What does that even mean?
Big guy.
Right.
You're hot.
It's the Reg.
Is it ready? This Hollywood is happy. In just a few seconds, we go to the best show of the year.
You know, at 80 years old, though, give him credit for jumping around like a trained rabbit.
They are the best. Everything is in readiness. Hollywood is happy. In just a few seconds, we go to the best show of the year here, the Academy Awards.
Everything is in readiness.
And that's how it ended, with the music just fading out. Uh-huh. Then he went back to his hotel and he humped Joy like there was no tomorrow. His wife Joy filmed.
And then he had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so he could go in there and do his 6 o'clock TV show.
Good morning, Kelly.
He's a studio audience.
Very tired.
No less.
And I happen to know he has not slept yet.
What celebrities have we pulled for the show? Scott effing Baio.
Oh, yeah.
He had to do a show at 6 o'clock, real time. Right.
What celebrity, you might ask, is going to come into a television show at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Scott Baio and his wife and his kid. Wasn't Scott Baio just on a show called Scott Baio Wants to Get Laid?
Something like that.
Obviously, he did.
Well, maybe you've guessed. We will talk to the old Reed.
He's really wiped out, though.
Oh, sure.
He's very, very tired. But we can write that. Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.